So this morning, we're going to be looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we'll start off with our scripture here today from Luke chapter 10. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Well, what does the law of Moses say? What or how do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, and so he asked Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good Samaritan is in response to this dialogue that Jesus is having with a teacher of the law. This man would have been a theologian of his day. And one of the things about theologians is that they're going to ask questions. This teacher, this theologian, however, asked a simple question: "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" And I would love to hear the sound of his voice, the tone of his voice. Was it a sincere question? Was it a question designed to test Jesus? Was the man simply wanting to engage in a philosophical debate? I mean, we'll never know. What we do know is the answer that Jesus gave. And Jesus turned the question around upon this man. And he said to him, "What does the law say?" And the man had a good answer. He knew the Bible, and he said to love the Lord completely and to love your neighbor as yourself. We have to conclude that this teacher of the law was convicted by his own answer, because that is a real high standard. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. So trying to justify himself, he says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" I'm sure he was looking for an intellectual answer, but instead Jesus tells a story. And from this story, there are several lessons about what it means to be a good neighbor we can learn from. And lesson number one: a true neighbor cares for those who are hurting. A true neighbor cares for those who are hurting. Now, the main message of the parable of the Good Samaritan is pretty clear, right? Jews believed that you were to be kind and neighborly to other Jews. Now, people who were not Jews, you didn't need to be treated with that same kindness and respect that you would treat your own countrymen and women. And so Jesus sought to expand their understanding without having to fight through their prejudice. And so he begins to unfold what it means to be a good neighbor. And he shares this story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and saw him lying there, but he also passed to the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds, olive oil and wine, and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to the inn, where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, saying, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time that I am here." And now Jesus looks to the man that had been listening to the story, this man that had brought this whole conversation up. And he said, "So who do you think was the better neighbor?" Well, Well, the man had no choice but to say, "The one who showed mercy." Now, this expert in the law couldn't even bring himself to say the name Samaritan. I mean, it would be the equivalent of a Jew making a Palestinian the hero in the story. The main point of this parable is that our neighbor is not just those who live closest to us. Our neighbor, by God's definition, is any person who is in need. It takes us to lesson number two, that true compassion is active and not passive. Now, you could ask, if you could ask the priest and the Levite why they didn't care about the man, I'm sure that they would tell you that they did care. They might have said that they were concerned, that they were worried even about this man. But they didn't do anything. I mean, Jesus is making the point here that true compassion is active. In the book of James, we read these words. Excuse me. "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does it do?" You see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I will say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You know, compassion should lead us to prayer. Absolutely. When our heart gets broken over a situation, and we should be drawn to prayer, but not just to prayer. St. Augustine, a 4th century theologian and bishop of the early church, said this: "Pray as if everything depended upon God. Work as if everything depended upon you." You know, we are called to be God's hands and feet, and we are not here by accident. And compassion, it should stir within us a concern for another person. And yes, we should pray for that situation, but it should also provoke action within us. Even if it's just a phone call or a meal or an offer of a ride, compassion is active. We are God's hands and feet, and when we respond in action, we are God's love made visible to this world. That brings us to lesson number three. Lesson number three is that caring is inconvenient. And you ever wonder what was going on in the mind of the priest and the Levite in the story? And I think both of them were simply too busy, right? They had other things that they had to do. And if they were on their way to Jerusalem, they were probably going to serve in their assignment in the temple, and it was an honor. And if they got mixed up with this man over here on the side of the road, they would be unclean for 7 days and wouldn't be able to serve at the temple. And if they were on their way from Jerusalem, they're probably very eager to get home, see their family, see their wives, their friends. I mean, certainly people aren't in need only when it's convenient for us. You know, these situations pop up as we're going someplace. They happen in the middle of the night. They catch us off guard, right? They're not scheduled. I remember a time many years ago when I was flying to Chicago, and I had a layover in Cleveland. and there was a bad weather front that was going through. Excuse me. Bad weather front going through, and so I wasn't getting out of Cleveland, and nobody wants to be trapped in Cleveland, right? And so I called my dad. I have no idea. I don't remember the time of the day I called him. I have no idea what he was doing. I told my dad I was trapped. I was stuck. He said, "Don't worry, I'll come get you." So he and my Uncle Jim got in their car, drove up to Cleveland to pick me up, and I forget, but I got home to Pittsburgh. I don't know if I borrowed one of their cars and went down to Pittsburgh or what, but my dad dropped everything. And I want to be like my dad. I want to be that person that, even though it may be inconvenient, I'm going to respond. Now, these are opportunities for us to show what's really important in our lives. And lesson number four, caring can be costly. Caring can be costly. You know, one thing we need to state honestly, that if we're going to care for somebody, it can be expensive. It can be costly. I mean, look at the cost for the Samaritan in our story. Right, there was a risk that he could have been viewed as the assailant. Those robbers that beat up this guy could have been there and saw him and then did to him what they did to this other guy. It cost him his time, cost him his wine and oil, cost of the hotel. A compassionate person also pays an emotional price as well. I mean, it can be difficult to share in the burdens of others. Doctors and nurses, social workers, counselors, teachers, they often carry a very heavy load. It's difficult to care about others because it will affect you emotionally. But there's also a tremendous payoff. Right? There is nothing more satisfying or give you a greater sense of fulfillment than helping someone else. There's nothing that solidifies a friendship like going through a difficult time together. These are times that show us what we are made of and who we can count on. And yes, it can be costly to care, but it is a price worth paying. And this is a parable that should make us uncomfortable, because it calls us to care more than we do. I understand that, the Jesus was not telling this man that if he was more caring, this was the way to get into heaven. If you remember, the original question is, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus is trying to show the man this whole idea of of somehow gaining heaven, of earning heaven, was foolish. The standard is a devotion of love that we simply don't possess. But even as I say that, we don't want to conclude that grace sets us free from this need to be compassionate. The Old Testament, or the New Testament, is filled with commands to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, and to be compassionate towards each other. God wants us to be loving and caring. And he wants us to do so because we represent him and we are empowered by him. And it's far easier to talk about compassion than to actually extend it. And it can become very easy for us to hide behind all that we have to do. I know I can do better. I think I'm not alone in that we all believe we can do better. And the truth is that none of us can care for everyone. It's draining and we need help. And that's why compassion and prayer go hand in hand. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus went off to spend time alone with the Father so often. And Jesus knew that he needed the Lord's strength and the heart of his compassion that only the Lord could give. Jesus spent time with the Father to remind himself why he was here and what he was called to do. And if we want to be a compassionate people, be considered good neighbors to the people who surround us, then we would be wise to follow our Lord's example. And spend time in prayer. Ask God to open our eyes a bit wider. To sensitize our hearts a little bit more. And then to simply place ourselves in the hands of our Savior and Lord say, "Here I am, please use me." Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for your wonderful examples. Now, Lord, as we read through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that so often the miracles and these wonderful interactions you had were interruptions. You allowed yourself to be interrupted so that you could care for someone. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would honor you by living like you. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.